Good evening, Eagle Country, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time. It is presented by OrthoSensi, Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. You can schedule your next appointment or learn more about their services at OrthoSensi.com. That's OrthoSensi.com. I am your host, Double T Travis there, and tonight we are featuring the Milan Indians football program on the show. We are going to get to our guest here in just a few moments, but first we have to see who is making headlines. And Cincinnati sports teams made headlines for the wrong reasons over the weekend. Cincinnati Reds swept three games by the Milwaukee Brewers, now seven games out of first place. FC Cincinnati had a two-goal lead twice in their game on Saturday and still managed to lose. But there was something worth celebrating at the Cincinnati Reds game yesterday. Maybe not so much of a sports tie-in, but definitely wanted to at least pass this information along quickly before we move on. George Klopp Sr., 95 years old from Lawrenceburg, was featured as the Reds' hometown hero yesterday at Great American Ballpark, and he served during World War II, actually joined the U.S. Navy back in 1944 and was shipped overseas at just 18 years of age and didn't even know where he was going when he was shipped out. I don't want to give away the whole story because Miranda Boyles, who works here in marketing, did a fabulous write-up on George Klopp Sr. and his time in the military, and we certainly want to thank him for his service. And for those vets that participated in and served in World War II, there are fewer and fewer of them each and every year. So just once again, want to pass along our thanks to George Klopp Sr. for his service. And please read that story over at EagleCountryOnline.com. It is absolutely fantastic. Moving on to our next topic, once again, want to congratulate all the inductees into the Lawrenceburg High School Athletics Hall of Fame. They inducted not only the class of 2020, but the class of 2021 on Saturday. Of course, the class of 2020 was unable to have their induction ceremony last year due to COVID-19. That group includes Matt Albright, Jim Fair, Ray Fernie, Roy Kennett, and Jim Pugh. And if you've listened to the show before, I've spoken at length about what Ray Fernie meant to me when I was an athlete at Lawrenceburg High School. Obviously not with us anymore, but long overdue for him to get his just due there at Lawrenceburg High School. Jim Fair was a teammate of mine on the basketball team. He was just a freshman when I was a senior, and boy, was he a phenomenal talent, a three sports star as well. And then Matt Albright is another name people know for being the voice of the Tigers, but a great athletic career as well. That class of 2021 featuring current Lawrenceburg High School football coach Ryan Caniga, who was a heck of a football player, went on to play at Indiana State University. John Richter was in that class. Denise Richter Cayley, Michelle Metzler Duval, and John Broughton. We just want to once again say congratulations to all those individuals for going into the Lawrenceburg High School Athletic Hall of Fame. They have now had three classes starting this back up in 2019. So they do take kind of submissions for their next Hall of Fame class throughout the year, so you can certainly head over to our website to learn more about that, and there might be someone that you want to see put in the Lawrenceburg High School Athletic Hall of Fame, and it's pretty simple to do, so there you go. And finally, one other thing we want to get to before we bring on the Milan Indians football team is there's a thing called the Southeastern Indiana Racing Circuit. This has been going on for a long, long time. There's five races each and every year, and all of the races benefit local high school cross-country teams. Now, the first one was the Trojan Trot 5K out in St. Leon this past weekend, the Night Flight 5K taking place in Aurora to benefit, obviously, the South Dearborn cross-country team. And wouldn't you know it, a gentleman from Lawrenceburg wins the race in Aurora. Brian Wagner, a 37-year-old, who is phenomenal at the 5Ks. He works very hard at it, but the overall winner, 17 minutes, 16 seconds. He was followed by Batesville native Braden Ryan and Adam Hollowell of Indianapolis. Now, Braden Ryan actually sets atop the male standings with a total time of 36 minutes, 42 seconds after two races. If you compete in all five of these races, you can actually be the overall winner. So, Braden Ryan, a youngster from Batesville, in the lead as of right now. The top female competitor over the weekend was Kaylin Beadle, a 14-year-old from Batesville. She finished 13th overall. She held off Lainey Nicholson and Rachel Campbell to win the female portion of the Night Flight 5K, but it is Lainey Nicholson, who is a 17-year-old from Versailles, who is leading the female standings, a standout for the South Ripley cross-country team. So next up is the Lakeside 5K. That'll take place in Brookville this Saturday. You can register at stewartroadracing.com. Of course, proceeds going to benefit the Franklin County High School cross-country team. You can learn more over at EagleCountryOnline.com. This is Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. It is now time to bring on our featured guest of the evening, the Milan Indians football team, of course, here with their head coach, Ryan Langferman. Well, we want to give the youngsters a chance to introduce themselves to start out the show, and I believe you guys have some questions in your hands that I want you to answer as well. So give us your name. We want to know what position you play on the team, what year you are in school, and then give us your bowl question that you have previously picked out. Who wants to lead it off?
Oh, I'll go ahead. All right. I am Braylon Nudds. I play right tackle, and it's my favorite junk food would have to be probably gummy bears.
Gummy bears. All right. I'm more of a gummy worms guy, but that's not a bad answer. Who's next?
I'm Alec Barker. I'm a middle linebacker and a fullback, and something I'd like to be good at. Probably throwing a football. Try me out some quarterback.
You're used to hitting instead of throwing, but all right, that'd be good. Who's next?
I'm Alex Winger. I'm a defensive end. I'm also a tight end. What would my dream job be? You know, I'd always like to be a high school coach for football.
Sweet. That's a pretty good deal. You might have to throw in teaching in there as well to do that. But all right, who's next?
I'm Nolan Ryan.
Hold on. Not that Nolan Ryan.
Oh, yeah. No.
I'm sure you've gotten that before. All right. Anyway, go ahead, Nolan. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm actually a left tackle. I don't play much baseball, but I also play some defensive tackle. Mm-hmm. And my question was, what is your favorite TV show? Personally, I like Outer Banks, even though it might be a basic pick. But, yeah.
All right, Outer Banks, nice pick there. Season 2 coming July 30th. I'm in on the Outer Banks. We got one more. Go ahead.
All righty, I'm Riley Johnson, running back and safety. And my question is, best ice cream flavor? I'm going to have to go with strawberry.
All right, you don't have to go too far down the street from your high school to enjoy some of that ice cream. I always make a stop to the Dairy Queen before I call any ball games out in Milan. So, all right, a little bit of an icebreaker with these young men. We want to quickly kind of put a bow on the 2020 season and talk to Coach Langferman to start this off. You guys went 7-4 last year, made it to the sectional championship for the second consecutive year, still trying to get over the hump in that game. How would you sum up the 2020 season for the Milan Indians?
It was a good season. It ended in some heartbreak, you know, for the second year in a row. North Decatur got the best of us in the sectional championship. It was 6 points this past season. We had a touchdown called back. The year before that, it was 1 point. And so, it's never good when a season ends, and that's always disappointing. But, one, we were very thankful to be able to get the season in. At this time last year, there were so many what ifs that you weren't even sure if we were going to have a season and be able to play. So we were very thankful to get 11 games in. It was a season where, you know, there were a couple games we'd play differently that, you know, we think we'd get a different outcome. But I told the players Thursday night, our last scrimmage, you know, one of the great things about Indiana football is everybody makes the playoffs. Mm. And so, we had a couple regular season games we'd let get away from us that we'd like to play again. But ultimately, our goal was to win a sectional championship, and we put ourselves in a place to do that and just came up a little bit short.
All right, I want to hear from a couple of the players just to put a final wrap on the 2020 season. Obviously, there's got to be some sort of motivating factor being so close to that sectional championship yet again. Is that something that you're using to fuel your off-season workouts? Alex, you've been a standout performer for quite some time now, so how do you kind of use last season to motivate you to do some better things this season?
Well, we lost by like 6 points, and it hurts, especially since you've been there 2 years in a row, and like it just gives you a fuel, a passion, and it drives me. I have to put in extra work to get even better this year since we lose a bunch of our big players, but we have a bunch of outstanding players coming up as well.
Do you find yourselves going harder in practice, lifting a little heavier? Alec, tell us how the offseason's been going a little bit.
I definitely think after our freshman year when we lost by 1 point and we lost by 6 points last year, I feel like it really set in our mind that every single rep, every single down, everything matters. Like no matter, you know, how hard it is or whatever, just everything matters. Take it all seriously like it's a game or like you're trying to win something.
Absolutely. Sounds like you're getting coached up quite well. And, Coach, I did want to ask you about a couple of new coaching additions. You got some former players added to your staff this year?
Yeah. We're very excited to have Sam Simpkins on board. And
I think any head coach enjoys when former players want to come back and be part of your program still. And so Sam played for a left tackle at 4 years at Thomas More, mm-hmm. and graduated. He's now a state police officer out of the sales post, and his schedule right now allows him to help us. So he's definitely going to be an addition on the offensive line. I know Dakota Sam's helped us some last year, and Blaine Beck are also former players that help out when they can. And another addition to our staff, Zach Hensel, is going to be a new teacher at Milan, and he's helping out on the offensive side of the ball. And so we're very excited to have him on board. So, you know, I think I'm getting ready to start year 14 as a head coach, and I don't know that I've ever been this excited about the coaching staff that we have. We have a lot of great help and a great staff that, you know, is making things a little easier on me heading into the season.
Well, let's talk to the offensive linemen in the room. Braylon and Nolan, you got to work with Sam a little bit already this offseason. How's that been for you?
It's been great. Having someone that really wants you to do great, not that he didn't want to before, but just someone, I don't know. You go ahead.
So, Coach Simpkins is a great addition to the coaching staff. You know, I'm really proud of these new coaches. I've already seen them have a positive impact on the players. I've seen a lot from them. I'm really happy to have new staff.
Is it a situation where, you know, Sam's played, he can be really relatable? Is that what you're finding to be kind of helpful?
Yeah, he's a young coach. He's not scared to step up during a drill. You know, there's been a few times where we're doing handwork, and I hear, "Nolan, get over here." And I'm like, "Oh, my word. This man, this man's getting his hands ready. He's ready to practice with me." And that's a nice change of pace.
And, Coach, I want to go back to you for a second, because we talked about last year's offseason and how different that was. We didn't even know if there was going to be a football season. So is it nice? Is there some more normalcy there this year preparing for the upcoming 2021 season?
Yeah, it has felt very normal. And that's all a welcome back. And, you know, I was thinking as we were standing here getting ready to go on the show, we were holding Google Meets last year in April, May, and June just to kind of have a team meeting for everybody to see each other's face. We installed some offense and defense via Google Meets and some film sharing and stuff, and that was really the only way we could get together. And mm-hmm. We all got to witness Braylon cook a steak last year on a Google Meet. You saw players in all different parts of their home and daily lives, but you know, it was something we'll never forget. But I think we've all enjoyed being back to normal, being able to get on the field and in the weight room and work together. It's been a nice change.
And let's get Riley in here. We haven't spoken to him a whole bunch yet. Obviously played a big part on the defensive side of the ball last year. Did see a little bit of time on offense. Looks like you might be enhancing your play on offense this year. Has this offseason helped you kind of get more comfortable on the offensive side of the ball?
Yes, sir. Coaches, Coach Hensel, he's helped me a lot understanding the plays, you know, getting down everything I need to get down. Linemen are doing great this year, so it's easier for the running backs and quarterbacks. Like, our positions are getting easier, and couldn't do it without them. So,
and let's talk a little bit more about the position breakdown for Milan. You've graduated some big playmakers, specifically on offense, with Peyton Wirt, quarterback, Adam Norman, Carson Asherman, among some others that put up some big numbers for you over the past couple of years. So I guess the big question is, who's competing for that quarterback spot coming up this fall?
Yeah, that's a great question. We had our first scrimmage at Richmond last Thursday. And I was sitting there watching us take snaps, you know, 11-on-11 for the first time, and kind of step back. And I think only four of the players we had on the field were starters last year. So basically four returning players. And Braden Roerig and Logan Burton are all competing for our quarterback spot. Braden's a junior and Logan's a sophomore. And so that's the one everybody wants to talk about the most.
Sure.
Our receiver core, I've never been at this point of the year of really not having anybody jump to the top yet of, like, that's going to be a starter. And, you know, I always think in my mind, you know, you've heard people say, if you got two quarterbacks, you got no quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I keep playing that in my head with the receivers. But in this case, because they're so competitive, like, we keep getting better every practice because those kids are pushing themselves, trying to get more playing time and trying to show coaches what they're capable of. So, I mean, there's a host, probably five or six guys really in the running to earn playing time at that receiver position. And, you know, thankfully we got a few more weeks to figure that out.
Sure.
Riley will be joining the backfield with Logan Reed, and that's probably really the strength of our offense with Alec at fullback and Riley and Logan Reed at tailbacks. They've all got experience back there. And so we knew coming into the season that we're going to have to be better at running the football. And so we kind of tailored our offseason to that. And there's been a lot of competition on the offensive lines. It's kind of the same as the receiver position. We had our offseason coaches meeting, and we felt there were nine players that had worked themselves up into the weight room of this player has a chance of earning a starting spot.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been getting those nine guys reps and trying to find out the best combination. And then, you know, we also, because we're such a young team and our ability levels are so similar that we're able to really for the first time, or maybe more so than ever, look at our two platoon and, you know, kind of place players. Well, if this guy's going to play more on defense, then we can put the guy that's, you know, equal to him or almost as good as him on offense. And as far as a two platoon system, which we've never been able to do it my own and never go into the season thinking we can, this may be the closest we've ever been because the roster numbers are good and we have a lot of good young talent, and it's exciting. And it's been a lot of fun to coach the excitement and enthusiasm of these young players.
It's a good problem to have, and I'll say this, your offense has been very balanced here in recent memory, not only passing the ball, but running the ball as well. But for you guys that are going to be blocking up front and Riley's going to be carrying the ball, are you ready to just say, hey, let's just smash some teams into mouth, let's do some run blocking all night long? Are you guys looking forward to the challenge of maybe becoming a little bit more of a run team?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Cannot wait, especially with that scrimmage Thursday. Really gets you excited.
Yeah, and Alec, I know you want to throw the ball, but are you looking forward to hitting some people and paving the way for Riley and Logan and some of the other guys?
Yeah, I'm always looking forward to hit someone.
All right, fair enough. We'll move on from there then. One of the other big things surrounding the Milan program this year is the change in the schedule. We were chatting about it a little bit off the air, and this wasn't necessarily a Milan decision to go independent, but that's where you're at for this 2021 season. What kind of went into the schedule being changed this year, Coach?
So 2 years ago, we were sitting at a conference meeting, and the ADs and coaches were talking, and there were some programs in the Mid-Indiana Football Conference that just weren't really sure, based on numbers, if they would even have enough to field teams coming into this season. And so they felt like a different schedule might get some excitement in their program and more players out. Us, along with North Decatur, were concerned that, you know, if teams were not able to field a team, now all of a sudden we got a spot in our schedule that's very hard to fill. And mm-hmm. So it was just kind of a mutual agreement among all the schools that after two seasons the conference would disband and everybody kind of do what's best for them. And so we're kind of on, if you look at Indiana geographically, we're kind of on an island as far as 1 and 2A schools. There's just not a lot around here. And so we decided to stay independent, and I give our athletic director, John Preifogel, a lot of credit. It was very intimidating to go out and schedule teams that either have room in their conference schedule or are not already affiliated with somebody. And he's done a great job of filling that schedule for us. A lot of the teams we went out and scheduled, we already had relationships with, either through youth football. We'd played their program, been familiar with them, up to middle school, and even JV. Because of geographical location, we don't travel real far for our middle school and JV games because they're school nights. You got to get back on time. And so we've already had relationships with Madison and Greensburg and some of the Eastern Hancock. Mm-hmm. So putting them on the schedule really wasn't a huge step. Our kids and coaches are familiar with them. And so we're excited about the new challenge that lies ahead.
Yeah, and the four teams that you mentioned that are new to the schedule this year are Madison, New Miami, Eastern Hancock, and Greensburg, who's essentially going to play the whole 3A side of the EIAC with Rushville, Batesville, and Lawrenceburg still on the schedule as well. So let's bring in Riley and Alex to talk a little bit more about the schedule. Is it disappointing that there's no conference championship to chase, or you just say, hey, these are the games that are in front of us, let's go try to win as many as we can and really get ourselves prepared for the sectional? How do you kind of feel about it?
Well, for me, I only look at it as one big goal, and that's to win the sectional championship. So mm-hmm. I'm excited to have new challenges and face bigger schools. I feel like that's the only way we get better. They expose our flaws, and then we review it, and we go over it, and we fix it.
That's a good answer. And Riley, if you want to add on to that a little bit, are you looking forward to playing some of these bigger schools where, you know, when you go into the game, you might be considered an underdog this week or that week?
I am. I think it's going to be a fresh new start for us. So I'm excited to see how our team holds up. I mean, we're a young team, but we're filling in the pieces that we lost really well. And I feel like we have some great talent this year, and it's all coming together. So, yeah, I'm excited for the new step up we have.
Fantastic. And to go back to you, Coach, I'm sure you know one of the goals that was already just there when you were in a conference is no longer there. So how does that kind of change up your mindset leading this team through the regular season?
Well, we start every season with a senior meeting and kind of set goals and off-season calendars and stuff with the seniors. And every year, never fails. Number one goal is to win a sectional, and so that hasn't changed. Our goal is still to win a sectional. The conference championship, it was a meaningful game, especially when us and North Decatur faced off in the regular season. And it got us a patch on our jacket. But we've done some things as a program to kind of recognize players on a week-to-week basis, not only coming up with team goals but individual goals. For a long time, we had done pancake stickers for the linemen because they don't get their names called enough, and so that was kind of a...
How about real pancakes? That'd be pretty good, right? Sorry, go ahead.
The stickers are cheaper than the real pancakes, trust me. So we're going to incorporate that more into our team with helmet stickers and stuff and give some more recognition throughout the week, and just keep in mind that goal of winning the sectional championship is still our goal. You know, I've heard it said many times, this is the hardest trophy to win in high school sports because if you can get out of the sectional, you got a chance to do anything, and so... that's not changing for us, and like Riley and Alex, I couldn't have said it better. We're looking forward to the challenge and hope that the tougher strength of schedule prepares us more for the sectional championship.
All right, I want to talk a little bit more about the Milan roster. Obviously, you five young gentlemen right in front of me are expected to star for this Milan team this year, but I'd like for each of you to maybe share another name on the team, one of your teammates. It could be in your same position group or just somebody that's been standing out to you in the offseason. Who else is going to help Milan have a successful season if you want to give a shout-out to a player or two? Nolan, you want to start it off?
Yeah, I got to give a big shout-out to Landon Stanley. He's a freshman. But, you know, he's a big kid. He's smart. He knows his fundamentals. He's stepping up. You know, he's really standing out at practice, and I couldn't be prouder of that kid. I think he has great potential, and I think he has a very high chance of starting this year. He's an excellent offensive lineman, and I think he could get some defensive reps as well.
So. All right, fantastic. Who wants to go next? Riley?
I'm going to have to give a shout-out to Braden Ward. That was one of the biggest positions that we lost. Peyton was very agile and could move and throw a ball great. So Braden's going to have to play a big role and know everybody's positions and step in there and help the team win.
Fantastic. All right, who's up next? Alex?
I'd like to say Jacob Bauk. Sometimes when he needs to step up for defensive end, he's been showing out in practice. Good results, hard worker, and he's really been stepping it up.
All right, Alec, who's looking good to you this offseason?
So in our linebacker group specifically, since Caden Yorn's been at baseball a lot this summer, I've had a lot of chance to work with a lot of the younger guys and incoming sophomores, and Mason Green's really pointed out to me. I mean, he's hitting good, his form and tackling and all that. His reads are getting a lot better, and he's improved a lot since last year, and he's shown to me that he's ready to play, so I'm excited to see him.
All right, fantastic. And Braylon, give us a shout-out as well.
Got to give some love to the skill positions. My boy Johnny Volk, I think he will do great things. He's got a 10 times better mentality than he has the past couple years. And I just think if he keeps his head on straight, then he's going to do great things.
All right, Coach, you want to add a couple more names of players? Maybe you're looking to step up into some roles this year?
Yeah. Man, now you're putting me on the spot.
Well, they already took care of a few of the youngsters.
Yeah, I would agree that. So I'll give a shout out to some of the guys in this room. Nolan Ryan's done a great job. He's rotated in the last couple seasons, but really hasn't had a starting spot, and he's really shown up that he wants to earn that spot. Like the guy said, Braden Warwick has done a great job, and I think. I'm really excited about our defensive secondary. We have a lot of athleticism back there. And so Riley's younger brother, Jeremiah, is doing a great job at corner. Mason Green, who was mentioned, his little brother Austin's doing a great job, made him some playing time as a freshman. Logan Burton as a sophomore, just wants to get on the field, and he's a leader all the time. I've never, even as a freshman, I don't know if I've ever coached a player as vocal and wanting to be a leader as much as Logan is. And so Logan's now a sophomore, and he's going to find himself some playing time. He's keeping our secondary straight, being at a free safety. He was an H-back coming into the season. We watched him throw the ball around a little bit, said maybe you need to look at quarterback a little bit. And, you know, that situation is kind of shifting itself out. But I think we're going to find a place for Logan on the field somewhere. Ethan Pierce is another young kid that's doing a great job. Ethan was one of those kids in the offseason that got himself into playing shape, and you know, we got to find a spot for him. And he was one of those kids, when I was talking about two platoon, okay, we got to find a spot for Ethan. Is it tight end? Is it strong safety? Is it linebacker? And then based on that, we can move some of these other guys around and hopefully get them off the field some. A couple younger guys, Trent Langforman and Mason Johnson, are two young linemen that had a phenomenal offseason and got themselves in a position to earn some Friday night playing time. Braylon's cohort, Caleb Lane, always in the running to get some playing time. He's had a good offseason as well, so I know I've nailed off about half the roster. But I'll be honest, that speaks to the summer we've had. Mm-hmm. Again, I think kids are excited to come back. We've worked hard. The energy's been good. It's exciting to coach these guys every day because they truly look at every day as an opportunity, because there's no starting positions settled yet. And so they're there to get better every single day, and it's been a blast to coach them this summer and watch them come along, and looking forward to the season.
Yeah, and I know you lost a nice senior class, but I don't think it's a bad thing to have so much young talent that can stick around for a couple years. So I think you guys are in a pretty good spot heading into this season. So we just got a few more minutes left in the broadcast. You are listening to Crunch Time. It is presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injury. Visit them online at orthosensi.com. So we'll just do a couple fun questions to kind of wrap this up and get you guys out on your way. We were talking food before we went on the air. We were talking about pregame meals. Let's name off favorite pregame meals, and then if you have a recommendation for something that you want this season, throw that out there as well for all the listeners out in Milan. Who's the big eater on the team? Riley, you start out. Well, we know you want strawberry ice cream for dessert, but go ahead.
The chicken Alfredo is amazing, so I think that'll be my favorite pregame meal.
One bell ring so far. I like the chicken Alfredo. Who's next? Alex, what do you like?
You know, I always stick with good lasagna. It doesn't get you sick, and it gives me enough energy for my game.
All right. Alec, what you got?
My mom's mac and cheese. That's
mac and cheese, very good. Braylon?
You know, I'd have to have a second on Terry's mac and cheese.
All right, Nolan?
Well, you know, usually for our team meals, you know, I got a bad sweet tooth, so I usually focus on the dessert, whatever it is. Usually it's a cake or something tiny, you know. They don't get us sick. They treat us right. We're fed like kings. I like it all. I'm not picky.
All right, and we'll shift away from the food talk. You guys got a favorite football player that you like to watch on Saturdays or Sundays? You got to think about that one for a second. Alex, you got one?
My favorite player just retired.
Okay, who's that?
Drew Brees.
Drew Brees, all right. Riley, who you like to watch? Pattern your game after anybody?
This one's a tough one.
You're just Riley Johnson?
I'm going to have to go with Stephon Diggs.
Stephon Diggs, all right. Just good wide receiver there.
Just a great guy.
Alec, you got a linebacker that you like to watch?
Bobby Wagner.
Bobby Wagner, one of the best in the NFL. Braylon?
Probably have to go with Aaron Donald. His work ethic is
Aaron
amazing.
Donald's very solid, maybe the best defender in the league. Nolan?
I like J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt. All right. Very good. All right. And then do you have a favorite team to go along with these favorite players? Do we like the local pro team?
Mine's total opposite. I like the Bengals.
There you go. All right. Well, I knew I liked you, Riley. No Bengals, Saints. Alex? Saints. Well, that makes sense with the Drew Brees thing. Seahawks with the Bobby Wagner.
Steelers.
Oh, that's where all the listeners just tuned out there. Nolan just broke everybody's heart by saying he likes the enemy. Braylon, who's your favorite team?
Bengals, for sure.
All right. Well, you at least got two Bengals in there. Very good. And one last thing for each of you. What's your favorite thing about playing high school football?
The crowd. The crowd's amazing. The atmosphere. I just love it.
All right. Riley?
Thrill. The band leading. It's just never get another feeling like it.
All right. Alec?
I like one of the things that I love most about high school football is the work ethic it gives you. You got to show up on everything on time. You're
taught to be there and expect to be there, and it's really transferred over into, you know, real world situation.
All fantastic answers so far. That was a really good one, Braylon.
I think the morals it teaches you and the memories it gives you, it's fantastic. It's like nothing else.
All right. Anything to add on to that, Nolan? Everybody's sealing all the good answers.
Yeah, I like the sense of improvement and just everyone getting there. And, you know, everyone's bettering themselves. It's a positive environment. And, you know, I just enjoy that about it the most, I got to say.
Fantastic answers all around the board. Each one of you did awesome here tonight. I appreciate you coming on the show. And we wish you nothing but the best of luck in this 2021 season. Coach, we appreciate you being on.
Thanks for having us, Travis, and look forward to seeing you at some games this fall.
Absolutely. Can't wait. Love getting out to Milan. You will kick off your season Friday, August 20th at home against Rushville. Yes, it is right around the corner, the high school football season. Our thanks again to the Milan Indians football program for coming on the show tonight. Another thanks to Ortho Cincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine for sponsoring, and we will do this all again next Monday, 6 to 6:30, and we will be welcoming the East Central Trojans football team. So don't miss the show next week. Thanks so much for listening. It's Eagle Country 99.3.